The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Here we are trying to recover from a global pandemic that has killed more than 700,000 Americans, that shut down thousands of small businesses and put millions out of work. We don't have time to be wasting on these phony, trumped-up culture wars, this fake outrage that right-wing media peddles to juice their ratings, and the fact that he's willing to go along with it instead of talking about serious problems that actually affect serious people.
That's Barack Obama over the weekend in Virginia, of all places. We've been all over the story about Loudoun County, what's happened down there with the school system, the school board, the rape that they covered up twice. And there's Antiochus saying, we don't have time. We don't have time to get into this fake outrage. What are you upset about? I mean, the school boards, they're all there to protect the kids. You can't be attacking them. Is this really going to help Terry McAuliffe's campaign? It's coming down to the wire. They're sending out the big guns, the communists. This is important to them. They know it's neck and neck in Virginia, of all places. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, not brought to you by Pfizer. That's right. The Trumpet Daily, brought to you by God's family every day of the week, the weekday that is, weekdays through the week, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. here in Oklahoma, or central time zone here in the United States, 12 noon on the East Coast, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. We post all of these podcasts a couple of hours after the show each day, so you can get to the live video or the podcast video of this show at our live stream page on the trumpet.com website. Just go to the trumpet.com/live. So there is Barack Obama yesterday, or I guess it was maybe Saturday, trying to drum up support for Terry McAuliffe. And I guess the newspaper said about 2,000 people showed up. I think it might have been a little bit less than that. And that seems pretty low. I mean, this is Barack Obama. This is the kingmaker. This is the puppet master. And maybe 1,000 to 2,000 people turn out. Compare that to if Donald Trump had a campaign or a rally in Virginia. How many do you suppose would turn out for that? I think it would be more than 2,000 people. But we'll leave that aside and carry on with some of the things that Obama said in trying to get out the vote for Terry McAuliffe. This is clip 3.
Instead of stoking anger aimed at school boards and administrators who are just trying to keep our kids safe, who are just doing their jobs, stoking anger to the point where some of them are actually getting death threats, we should be making it easier for teachers and schools to give our kids the world-class education they deserve and to do so safely while they're in the classroom.
School boards and administrators who are just trying to keep our children safe? You mean like the one in Loudoun County? Remember the superintendent last week? We played the soundbite. He said, yeah, there's no cases of any kind of incidents in bathrooms. Nothing's happened. In fact, I could quote to you from a 2016 Time Magazine article that says those kinds of things just don't happen. So if they do, we cover it up and then say it never happened. That's what they've done. And here comes Obama. Here comes the spirit of Antiochus, basically saying that there's nothing to worry about here. There's no inappropriate behavior because we've just ramrodded our transgender policies right through school districts. The school boards and administrators, they're just trying to keep our kids safe. A 14-year-old girl was raped, and it was covered up by the school board. and the administrators at Loudoun County. The transgender was quietly transferred to another high school where he raped another girl. People are outraged. This is not fake or phony. Maybe this is why he can't hardly get 2,000 people to show up. This is Barack Obama. Is this, as I say, is this helping Terry McAuliffe to waltz into Virginia and to say, hey, the school boards are perfect. The administrators at your school are perfect. Don't pay attention to all this right-wing media that's trying to manufacture outrage. Well, the outrage is real. And the reason Youngkin is giving Terry McAuliffe a run for his money is because parents in Virginia are furious. That's right. They're furious. The family is coming under attack. I wrote about this last week in my Trumpet brief. Of course, we talked about it on this show first. It's all part of the communist agenda. Destroy the family. Take away parental authority. Let the school boards control the children. That's what they want. So here comes this angel of light. It sounds so nice. Look, oh, these administrators, they're just like the ones that preside over the elections. They're perfect. So long as Democrats win, they can do no wrong. Election officials in Maricopa County, Fulton County, perfect. And then now the school board. I mean, if they're Democrats in charge, if they're Marxists who are in charge, they can do no wrong. Even if they brush aside a rape of a teenager, they'll still pull out the 2016 Time magazine piece and say, hey, it just can't happen. Just can't happen in Loudoun County or anywhere else. A man's daughter was raped in a school bathroom by a perverted and deranged male transgender. But I suppose you can't even call it a boy. You can't even call it a male, can you? Someone in Congress just pointed that out with the transgender that works in the health department. Made an admiral or something last week. And the congressman points out that he's a man. Twitter account suspended. More tales from the upside down world. Here's Barack Obama commenting on the election steal. He's the one that orchestrated the steal, keep in mind. And here's what he had to say over the weekend. Clip one.
All across the country, Democrats are trying to make it easier to vote, not make it harder to vote, and push back on Republicans who are trying to systematically prevent ordinary citizens from making their voices heard. Which, by the way, this is a little bit of an aside, but you have to ask yourself, why is it Republicans don't want you to vote? What is it that they're so afraid of? Yeah, you know, I would assume, Terry, if they think they've got better ideas, why don't they just go make the case? And if you've got good ideas, people will flock to your ideas, but that's not what they try to do. Instead, you're trying to rig elections. Because the truth is, people disagree with your ideas. And when that doesn't work, you start fabricating lies and conspiracy theories about the last election, the one you didn't win. That's not how democracy is supposed to work.
He's got it exactly backwards, doesn't he? The people that love the ideas of a certain politician, they flock to him in droves. And here's this man speaking to, what, 1,000 people? 1,000 people in Virginia. I don't know where the city was. I suspect it was fairly big, maybe Richmond. 1,000 people? Whose ideas are more popular? Let's just consider that for a moment. But the audacity. He worked with people like Stacey Abrams to pull off the steal of the century. They're not trying to make it easier for people to vote. They're trying to make it easier for election officials to cheat. Five swing states. They just shut it down. And the media, they prepared us for it. Don't. Hey, I know you used to view it as election day. That's not the way it's going to be. It's the pandemic. See, the pandemic's got to stretch this out. So they used it. They used a virus made in a lab, funded by Fauci. We've got some updates on that man, by the way. What a horrible human being. When you look at what he was funding. The evil, the filth of these people, it knows no bounds. Mass cheating on a mass scale, all carefully coordinated. Shut down the election on election night. And then people wake up on November 4th, 2020 and find out, wow, Joe Biden got 800,000 votes in Pennsylvania overnight? 81 million in total? There's all kinds of comments, by the way, under some of these clips on Twitter. The radicals, or at least the supporters of the radicals, saying, oh, I miss Obama so much. He's just so wonderful, so eloquent. Yes, indeed, an angel of light. Joe Biden can't quite pull it off. They know he's just a puppet. They know, even looking at the comments of support for Barack Obama, can't do no wrong. What a perfect arrangement. It's exactly the way he described it to Stephen Colbert in November of last year. Yeah, I kind of like the idea of working from the basement, pulling all the strings. You know, maybe the front man, he's got a little earpiece in his ear and I can just tell him what to do and say. That's what's happening. And the policies, they're so incredibly unpopular. Well, of course, it's Biden who's taking the hits. And to some degree, Kamala as well, but not Barack Obama. He's perfect. And he goes around Virginia yesterday or over the weekend and says the school boards, the administrators at school are perfect. They're just trying to help your kids with the transgender policies. They're just trying to help your kids with critical race theory. They're just trying to help your kids by demanding that they wear masks, even as they party away. Obama, I mean. They party away in Martha's Vineyard and the viruses explode all over the island. The super spreader, that's what it was. But your children, they don't mask up. They can't come to school. Listen to Obama. I think this was when he moved on to New Jersey. I think he was campaigning there for Governor Phil Murphy, clip 4.
And when that doesn't work, they start making up stuff. Like the one about how they didn't lose the last election. Let me tell you something. I've been blessed in my political career, but I lost an election. I lost a congressional election back in Chicago. It would have been, I didn't know I could just, like, after I got beat, I could just get up and say, no, I didn't get beat. No. The machines were broken. What? No. You know what I did was I said, you know what? Let me think about how I can be better so that I can win the next time. That's what I did.
An angel of light. Sounds good. At least he sounds like he had a few more people in New Jersey. Sounds so nice. He just does it the right way. He never calls into question elections. In fact, the ones rigging the elections, that would be the Republicans. The accuser of our brethren. Revelation 12, 10. Is that the verse? He accuses the devil. All these wild accusations and guilty of the very things he's accusing others of. Donald Trump, he had a statement, I think it was on Saturday as well. Look at what happened in Arizona, he said, this week for the people that really won the election by a lot. The forensic auditors released a new report that discredits all the disinformation put out by the Rhino Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. The auditors said Maricopa County purposely misled the public and spread outright lies about their findings. The board provided zero evidence for their false claims, including no accounting for the 12,772 illegal ballots, more than the election margin alone, who moved outside of Maricopa County before the election. So it's illegal. But that sort of lawlessness goes on all the time. And it will get worse unless the law is, just like I was saying in doctrines this morning with respect to the Fifth Commandment. I mean, if parents aren't going to enforce it, if they're not going to teach their children to honor the father and the mother, it's going to present a lot of problems as that child grows up, not just for the family, for the community, for all of society. It says here they have no valid answer for how there were more early ballots returned by voters than received, why their official results did not match who voted, why there were more duplicate ballots than originals, or why they deleted and purged their election management system data in defiance of a subpoena, which is against the law. And they did it on the day before the audit began. See, Obama knows all this. That's why he and his allies have worked so hard to prevent any kind of forensic audit from going forward. This is why they've applied so much pressure on state AGs not to prosecute on any of these things. This is why they've put on so much pressure for judges to just throw the cases out of court so that they can't actually look in and examine the evidence. These incredible findings, says Trump, affect tens of thousands of ballots and therefore the outcome of the election. This does not even touch Pima County, which had precincts with more than 100% turnout for mail-in ballots. There's a movement now among some Republicans with a backbone in Pima County. But look, they've got the evidence in Maricopa. But the state AG won't do anything with it. He wants to make music videos instead. He won't do anything with the evidence. There's so few, you see, that have the courage to confront. Again, if it's an evil spirit, where does it come from? Ephesians 2:2. There is a prince of the power of the air. And as I was telling our students this morning, as a parent, I mean, a parent has authority. I know I'm kind of shifting back and forth between parental responsibility and what we're seeing in our nation, but look, the United States of America is just a family grown large, and it's under attack. The communist infiltrators are here, and it's turned the United States into a very lawless state in so many sectors of our society. Lawlessness on the one hand, just allowed. It's justified. But if you're a political opponent, I mean, January 6th or whatever else it is, they're coming after you. This is from the Telegraph, I believe it was. Richard sent this in his news stack. People trying to wrap their minds around these dreadful economic policies that the Joe Obama administration is trying to shove down our throats. Trillions and trillions of dollars. You know the one that doesn't cost anything? Build Back Better. Bloomberg says a CBS News poll published October 10 found out that just 10% of Americans say they know specifics of the bill, and only about a third think it would help them directly. Obama's talking about popular policies, if you can believe it. Well, hey, if they lose an election, I thought the way you're supposed to do it next time is, have some policies that people actually get behind. Okay, let's look at that then. 10%? 10% of Americans say they know specifics, and about a third, only a third, think it would help them. It says here, these bills are not about left versus right, Biden said last week. They're about competitiveness versus complacency, whatever that means. But it sounds pretty good. And then for his part, Obama comes out, hey, this is good. This is progress. Spending trillions and trillions of dollars. Biden's advisors are banking. This is from Bloomberg still. Biden's advisors are banking on the presumption that ordinary Americans don't pay much attention to the machinations of everyday Washington. Biden's handlers are banking on this. Don't get into the detail. Just say this is great. And say it won't cost anything. And most Americans, they're probably not paying attention. Most Americans probably don't know about the rape case. Because, I mean, that's over on right-wing media. They probably don't know that the predator, the transgender predator, was then quietly transferred to another school where he raped another girl. They probably don't know any of those details. So look, if you're going to give a speech on it, just refer to a 2016 Time Magazine article that says it can't happen. It's impossible. The school boards are there to just protect everybody. It says here, much as they were during the presidential campaign, the president's aides are largely dismissive of what they call horse race stories. They just come on. This is perfect. It's not going to cost a dime. Bloomberg says this, they can hardly be blamed, speaking of ordinary Americans. Not even Congress knows what the bill would accomplish. Remember Nancy Pelosi with Obamacare? We've got to hurry and pass the bill so we can find out what's in it. This is the way they operate. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the attack. Just crush the middle class. That's right in the Marxist playbook, isn't it? Listen to Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, yesterday on the proposed tax. Yes, there are taxes that are going to increase. This is how they're going to... I thought we didn't have to raise taxes and it wasn't going to cost a cent. Well, here she is, maybe saying the silent part out loud, although there's others now talking about this. This tax on, what is it, unrealized capital gains. Listen to clip 6.
What's under consideration is a proposal that Senator Wyden and the Senate Finance Committee have been looking at that would... impose a tax on unrealized capital gains on liquid assets held by extremely wealthy individuals, billionaires. I wouldn't call that a wealth tax, but it would help get at capital gains, which are an extraordinarily large part of the incomes of the wealthiest individuals. And right now, escape taxation until they're realized, and often they're unrealized and at death, benefit from a so-called step-up of basis. So
unrealized just means it hasn't been sold yet as an asset, but it's gaining in value. So let's try to get in there and tax you, which would effectively force people to sell things they don't want to sell, to sell a property or sell a stock that maybe they've had just sitting there for years and years and years. But here comes Uncle Sam. It would be interesting to see if Uncle Sam would work in the opposite direction. If there was a catastrophic collapse in the stock market, if they'd then give all this credit out to people that were losing value. But we'll leave that aside. This is from the New York Times. It says here, billionaires could be taxed on unrealized capital gains on their liquid assets, Democrat officials said yesterday. It would affect people with $1 billion in assets or those who have reported at least $100 million in income for 3 consecutive years, according to news reports. But really, in truth, I mean, let's be real. They're going after the ordinary Americans, too. That's why they want to view your bank accounts. You got an asset? You got a nice boat? You got a nice asset sitting in the yard? I mean, if that's growing and appreciating in value, you might have to be taxed on this. It's a wealth tax. Of course it is. They've loved the idea of a wealth tax. It's another way to put another tax on things. a double tax, if you will. Says that would ensnare perhaps 700 taxpayers or the wealthiest, but Democrats hope it would generate a cost or at least $200 billion in revenue over a decade. $200 billion? They're hoping to spend $5 trillion. And $200 billion's like chump change. But this is the way they operate. This is the way they think. You would think if there's, like Obama said, hey, I thought if you lost an election, just go look at your ideas and see if you can find some that are popular. That's the way a democracy works, right? Well, why not just spend, and never and lower the taxes if you can just keep running the printing presses? But no, they want to break the backs of the middle class. That's all part of the plan. That's all part of the attack. It says here, but also other assets like real estate. Individuals could claim deductions for annual losses. Well, we'll see about that. Further on, New York Times says, a key selling point of the proposal is that it clamps down on assets that aren't normally taxed and which billionaires often borrow against to spend huge sums of money at little relative cost. Someone tweeted out on Twitter, forcing people to sell their assets is totalitarian. It's antithetical to a free market and will cause second and third order effects that will be devastating to an economy. This is actually what taxing unrealized gains will do. But they're very excited about it. And they assume that you're not going to really get into any of the fine print. So they'll just tell you, look, it's just those wealthy fat cats, the billionaires. That's all we're going after. Well, we played the clip from Biden last week. They got to pay their fair share. I guess billionaires don't pay taxes. No, they're just they're trying to find other things that billionaires have that they can double and triple tax. Why not? They can afford it. This is in their thinking, you see. What happens when all of these wealthy people they take the money? It runs out at some point, doesn't it? I mean, when the dollar is abandoned as the reserve currency, it's lights out for all of us. It's over. The party is over. But just coming back to this communist attack, the spirit of Antiochus, my father in the latest trumpet, chaos by design. Look at the trumpet cover. Chaos by design. It's all part of the attack. It's all part of the plan. And he says here, many people can clearly see that Joe Biden is not really in charge of the government. He's filled his administration with Obama-era officials. And Barack Obama himself is really directing the show. Some say, correctly, that this is effectively Obama's third term. We've been all over this storyline. And others are starting to pick it up, if you haven't noticed. And here's Obama all over the place. How does someone who's been out of office for 5 years... He's in Virginia. He's in New Jersey. He's sitting down with, I think, CBS and Bruce Springsteen, his new BFF. I mean, they've got to tell the world about how to solve all the problems, all the racial strife. They know. They were doing so much to solve all the problems. And then Donald Trump came along. And now we got to try to repair the damage. It's as if Donald Trump's still on the ticket in Virginia, in New Jersey. How is it even a race in Virginia? Because the policies of Joe Obama are so incredibly unpopular. Parents are speaking up. Parents are concerned. Parents want to have something to say about their child's education. It says 8 years ago, this is my father's piece. 8 years ago during Obama's presidency, I wrote my booklet, America Under Attack. It explains the reason behind these ruinous policies. And then he quotes from AUA, many people can see that these are disastrous decisions, but we must understand that this isn't simply the result of ineptitude on the part of this administration or naivete about how the world really works. We are seeing the after effects of a calculated, aggressive, satanic attack aimed at weakening and ultimately destroying the nations of Israel. That's an America Under Attack. And of course, since that time, we've had a lot more to say about Satan's attack, Satan's attempt to blot out even the name of Israel. My father says here, many biblical scriptures explain and underscore this truth. You can't grasp the malevolent intent behind Barack Obama's actions without recognizing this. See, there's a spirit behind it. He comes in by flatteries. Look at the original. Look at the original Antiochus. Daniel 11 says that he comes in by flatteries. This is in the America Under Attack book as well. He obtains rule through deceitful lies and flatteries. It says Antiochus Epiphanes gained control by pretending to be someone he really wasn't. He comes in just talking smooth things. And yet, the track record, fundamental transformation, it's a communist revolution. It's all part of the socialist revolution. And yet, say the nice things, say democracy, say popular policies. It says we must always look out for the devil for this reason. He comes as an angel of light, but he's just the opposite. He comes speaking smooth things, but he's a destroyer. It says here about the original Antiochus in 168 BC, Antiochus pillaged and desecrated the Jews' temple in Jerusalem. It says, throughout the turbulent changes of its past history, this is quoting Werner Keller, Israel had been spared none of the horror and ignominy which could befall a nation, but never before, neither under the Assyrians nor under the Babylonians, had it received such a blow as the edict issued by Antiochus Epiphanes, by which he hoped to crush and destroy the faith of Israel. Just crush and destroy their faith. Crush it. Crush them into submission. Just force them to go along. Steal, cheat, lie, kill, murder, maim, whatever you need to do. Here you have this story with Anthony Fauci funding this mad scientist lab in Tunisia where they put these dogs, these beagles, into these netting systems where sand flies just ate them alive, basically. Ate them alive. Another side to this, this is the story that might finally bring Fauci down. I mean, we'd be amazed if that ever happened. I mean, he's the vaccine guy. He's the highest paid federal employee. And here he is torturing animals, or at least funding those who do it. But far worse than even that is funding the Wuhan lab where they made the virus, and the virus killed 5 million people. And yet the media, what have they done? The propagandists, they've tried to cover all of that up. It's not that big of a deal. The fact that the United States outsourced the gain of function experimentations, just sent it over to Wuhan, and then the communist Chinese sent the virus around the world. Don't mess with the dogs. This has got bipartisan support. You've got Democrats that are outraged now. They don't care so much about Wuhan and 5 million COVID deaths. But don't go after the beagles. What a spirit in man. And people actually think that the spirit in man is progressing? That it's righteous? That it's pure? Listen, there was a rape, but we don't want to come out with any kind of denunciation against transgenders. So we're going to cover it up. We're going to cover this up. Listen. The vaccines have killed people. Tens of thousands, in fact. The cases of myocarditis have doubled in Canada in 2 months' time. Myocarditis among young people. But let's cover that up. Because the vaccine, it's like the school board and the administrators at Loudoun County. They're perfect. And by the way, they're making Pfizer tens of billions of dollars, something like $120 billion for the drug companies just next year. Of course we need boosters. This is Satan's world. This is not God's world. Satan the devil is the god of this world. That's how you explain all these tales from the dark side, all these tales from an upside down world. The evil, pure evil that is on display, that gets funded, that gets covered up. Yes, indeed. God says he would expose a lot of this nefarious activity from the devil, from Antiochus, even to destroy the faith. My father says here, the goal of Antiochus, the goal to crush and destroy Israel's faith comes from the devil. This is not just the work of a human being. Antiochus was a tool in Satan's hands. That's true whether you look at the Antiochus of old or whether you look at any of them today. Satan is behind it all. If you'd like to study into this further, as my father plugged even in the latest trumpet, America Under Attack is your go-to booklet. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, not brought to you by Pfizer. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
So this morning we were going through, I didn't quite get through all of my information for the doctrines of the Philadelphia Church of God study on the Fifth Commandment. Just if I can back up in my notes, I'll give you a little bit of the context before I get to some of the material I didn't have time for earlier. I went through Hebrews 12, where it just talks about God administering correction and how that this shows how much he loves us and how that we need to confront an evil spirit, if there is one. I mean, look, I mentioned that example. You might have seen the little social media clip that went around, these two thugs that walk into this convenience store with guns. They've got firearms. And as it happens, there was an ex-Marine, I think it was. He had just purchased his items. He was talking to the guy behind the cash register. He turns around, and there's these two guns pointing at him and at the cash register, or the guy behind the register. And he just quickly grabs the guy's gun and arm and pulls him down to the ground. The other guy takes off running. Just some quick thinking and some use of strength. Some force. That probably those two, they were young people. Feeling like they were invincible, I guess, because they had a gun. And it was probably one of the first times in the lives of those young people where someone's confronted them and put them down or put them in their place. You can bet they probably weren't getting that at home from a loving father, if he was even around. So they're roaming the streets. And then you've got people like Antiochus and others saying, hey, defund the police. Get rid of the police. I mean, it's not enough to just go after the parents. We've got to defund the police. Just remove all forms of authority. And what little is there, the federal government can control it. And then we can send it after the January 6th protesters. We can use it as a weapon, a political weapon. An upside down society. God says in Hebrews 12, you can study it on your own time. He says this is one of the characteristics of a loving father, that he punishes in love. There's mercy, there's forgiveness upon repentance, of course. But children need this. It says in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the eternal, for this is right. It's right to obey. It's right to obey parental authority. You should see this all over the place. Do you see it, though, on TV, in movies? Every family portrayed in those sitcoms or those movies, those storylines from the movies, they don't show children who are obedient, who honor their father and mother. That's Exodus 20 and verse 12, after all. If you saw a young child honoring his father in a sitcom, yes, sir, Dad, I'll get right on that. People by the millions would probably fall out of their chairs. Because Satan is behind even that, isn't he? Of course he is. He's inspiring all these storylines, these demented storylines. Mr. Armstrong said in Missing Dimension and Sex, so much of it's just based on sex and violence. It's not there to build up and promote family. Certainly not in the traditional sense. If it's transgender, of course, yes. And then if a transgender rapes someone in real life, well, we've got to try to cover it up. We don't want it to hurt our politics. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That word obey, that's Ephesians 6:1. The word obey means to hearken unto a command, to be obedient to submit to. Why, that's not a popular message in today's world. Certainly not in our Western nations. But the truth is, children learn. They learn authority and obedience first from obedient parents. This is where it all starts. So God says to parents, he says to children, here's the fifth commandment. And of course, this is just as much for the parents as it is for the kids. It's for the parents more so because they have to teach it. They have to enforce it. Honor your father and your mother. I mean, this is the first commandment with promise, Paul says here in Ephesians 6. This is what leads to a long and happy and healthy life. It says here in the Ten Commandments booklet, this is another booklet that we've produced, because of his total lack of experience and judgment, it's absolutely necessary that a child be taught to obey his parents instantly and without question. Explanations and reasons for this may and should be given to the child from time to time, but at the moment a parental command is given, there may not be time or opportunity to give reason why. That's why that the children should be expected to obey, and starting from a very young age. And then as they get older and as their minds mature, there certainly is some room for explaining things, explaining the why of it. But your Bible says that the understanding, it's the obedience first. This is Psalm 111:10. The obedience first, and then the understanding comes later. If we're just taught to obey righteous parental authority, that goes a long way toward giving us understanding and wisdom. It's a crucial part of our education as a human being. Look at what it says at the end of Ecclesiastes. I mean, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments. I was telling the students in class this morning, if you just look at the fifth commandment alone, you find the purpose and the plan of God embedded into just one commandment. Because it flows out from the first and great commandment to honor God, our Father, to obey God above all else, to put God first in our lives. So what's God trying to accomplish here? What's he trying to teach, even with little infants? Because as far as they're concerned, the parents are in the place of God. This is where they first learn about authority. This is where they first learn about a father. And of course, the father and the mother, their jobs in large part is to prepare that little one for his or her relationship with God in heaven, with God the Father. Just like Hannah over in 1 Samuel 2. She prayed for God to intervene and to open her womb so that she could get pregnant. And she had a little boy, a remarkable one at that, Samuel. And she vowed a vow to God. She said, God, if you bless me with a son, after he's weaned, I will give him over to the work of the priesthood forever. I'll give him over to you. I'll let you lead him, teach him. That was a remarkable woman who prepared her son for serving God. And what a blessing that turned out to be for God's work. It says in Proverbs 3:12, "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights." God corrects those whom he loves. That verse in Ephesians 6 says, "Obey your parents in the Lord." So we're learning how to obey God. Notice verse 2 says, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. The word honor here, this is Ephesians 6 and verse 2, it means to revere, it means to venerate. It says it's the first commandment with promise. We'll look at that in just a second. This is from The Plain Truth About Child Rearing. It says, "Remember, one of the greatest lessons any of us can learn is a deep inner sense of respect for authority. Children should be taught to look up to the office and authority of their parents. The child who truly loves his parents will be able to experience an even fuller love if he's also taught a deep inner sense of respect toward his parents. This may be evidenced in the manner in which the child answers the parents." This deep inner respect, it's a beautiful thing. You know, obedience to these commandments, it really and truly is the solution to all the problems in this world. And there are a lot of them, as you hear in the first segment every day on this show. But how do you solve these problems? You know, the Laodiceans years ago, following Herbert Armstrong's death in 1986, they came out with that satanic nonsense saying that, you know, the Ten Commandments are nice, they're pretty good, but they wouldn't really solve the problems of this world. Oh, yes, they would. If everyone on earth was obeying the first commandment, putting God first above all else, and then what about commandment 5? What about not taking the Lord's name in vain? What about keeping the Sabbath holy? What about murder? Not committing adultery? Not bearing false witness? What about these commands? If everybody was observing these commands from God, what a wonderful world this would be. Says a lot about why the world is the way it is. It's because we're lawless. It's because we're not obeying the commandments of God. It's because we've rejected the author of these commands. We think we know better. And we've brought the world to the very brink of cosmicide, the very brink of total destruction. Verse 3, here's the promise that Paul refers to. Well, that's also there in Exodus 20. I guess I can just read you Exodus 20 and verse 12 as well. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the eternal your God gives you. Honor your father, honor your mother, that your days might be long, that you'll lead a long and happy and productive life. Verse 3, back in Ephesians 6, Paul says, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So he repeats what's there in Exodus 20, what Moses wrote about much earlier. But this is a definite promise. Obedience to the fifth commandment, it automatically results in building habits and character that will lead to a long life. Ultimately, it leads to eternal life in God's kingdom. Now, that's a long life. That's what we want for our children. That's what we want for ourselves, right? We want to live forever and ever and ever in God's family, in God's royal family. The Ten Commandments booklet, another booklet of ours, it says, the relationship of children to their parents is an exact type of the spiritual relationship between converted Christians and God the Father. See, the idea, as far as being a true Christian is concerned, is to voluntarily come underneath the authority, the teaching of God our Maker, and to put God first in our lives, even above our own personal desires and wants, to just fulfill God's will first, like Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified. God, I don't know. I mean, this is an intense trial. I really don't want to go through it. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will. That's an example of one that was perfectly and totally submitted to God the Father's will. So we're really setting our children ahead. If we can establish that in the physical family, that spirit of obedience and submission to authority, how much further along are they going to be when they're 19, 20, 21, and they turn their lives over to the God above, God in heaven, just like we had here over the weekend on campus, 3 baptisms, all of them 19, 20, 21 years of age, early 20s. And they're committed to God's way of life. All of them had some wonderful influences in their upbringing, whether it was 2 devoted parents or a faith-filled mother like Hannah, preparing the little ones for their begettal and later birth into the family of God. Where was I? The relationship of children to their parents is an exact type of the spiritual relationship between converted Christians and God the Father. It says the lessons of honor, deep respect, and obedience learned in the parent-child relationship stay with the child for life, even into eternity. It says, in the eyes of a small child, a parent stands in the place of God. A parent is the child's provider, protector, love giver, teacher, and law enforcer. We're there to provide not just a little bit of money and all these gadgets that take them away from parental authority, but provide them with a godly education, provide them with an environment filled with love and discipline, provide them with an environment that they can grow up in that teaches them to honor those in positions of authority. I mean, we're right here, as I've said before, at the very final silly stages of Satan's society, where even those in authority, like Isaiah 3 says, they're like little children themselves. But when you see God's truth, and when you see it done God's way, what an inspiration. That's all we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can email the show if you like, td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.